What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Why me and not my neighbor? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. Thanks for listening. I'm George Samietz, a pastor in the ELCE, and this program hopefully lives up to its title, where I give a straight answer to questions that might be awkward or not, but the answer is the thing, an answer grounded in the Bible, the Lutheran understanding of what the Bible says, and also hopefully some common sense about what discipleship with Jesus might bring to the answer as well. You can find many more programs on Lutheran Radio UK. Please have a good explore of the website, www.lutheranradio.co.uk, for the details. For more information about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England and the details of our congregations and missions, please go to www.lutheran.co.uk. I hope you enjoy the program. Why me and not my neighbour? I know the context behind this question, and it is the perplexing reality that not all people think the good news of Jesus is good, or good enough in which to put their trust. So the question arises, why me? Why do I believe? And then, why does my neighbour not believe? Implied in that question is the situation that this neighbour knows about Jesus, but that's all it is, knowledge, of varying degrees, and of varying levels of accuracy. But the knowledge doesn't translate into any relationship or trust or belief that Jesus is engaging with them now. For this neighbour, Jesus is more a history lesson. And probably other people can think what they like, and that's okay for them, but it wouldn't be okay for this neighbour. And for the believer, this is perplexing. How can they be so blind or stubborn? I'm not going to talk about those people who have never heard that there is a Jesus. That's a straight answer for another program. Today my answer will look at why we believe and why those around us who know about Jesus, who know that we are Christian, don't. The straight answer is that people don't believe in Jesus because they don't. I'm sorry if that sounds like a bad joke or a cheap shot or even a non-answer, but that is the situation at any given moment that if they are asked, "Do you trust Jesus at this moment of your life?" where that trust involves the relationship with Jesus, impacting, directing, challenging, guiding how they live this moment of their life and the next moment, they say, in countless ways, no doubt, "No, I don't trust Jesus." Whatever process has gone on inside of them, something has, and they are stating what is the truth for them, and it is that they don't believe because that is the best choice they can make at this moment in their life. Now, things might change, or this pattern of responding and way of seeing life might harden, but they are responsible for their behaviour, their choice. So people don't believe because they don't. Their choice. Their responsibility. Not everyone who saw Jesus believed him. Even when they saw miracles, there were varying responses to the miracle and to Jesus. Jesus lamented people's stubbornness and rebelliousness, and he anchored it in people's choices. In Luke 13, we hear Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Hear those last words? "And you were not willing." We all make decisions and choices with the information we have at the time, based on our preferences and relationships. That's how we function. We choose and take the consequences. That's why we bring up our children to think about consequences, ramifications, and futures, to weigh the options, to count the cost, so to speak, in their decision-making. It's how we want them to learn wisdom and not learn the hard way. So it makes sense that this is how people should decide their God, their religion, their view of the supernatural. consider the evidence, make your choice. What's wrong with this approach? Very little in terms of living in this world, and this is how religions function, even parts of Christianity. However, some believers in Jesus, and definitely Lutherans, are unsettled at this point, because often their experience of belief and faith and trust in Jesus isn't what the logic expects. If we're saying that people don't believe in Jesus because they choose not to, then surely the logic follows that people who believe in Jesus do so because they have chosen to. And it is this concept of choice, choosing Jesus, deciding that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that doesn't ring true. Many Christians have grown up always knowing that there is a Jesus in their lives. They haven't decided to include him. It's more that he has always been there. Okay, many Christians might also have the experience of wandering from Jesus, doing their own thing, maybe for a long time. But Jesus' existence and claim on them doesn't evaporate or become nullified. He's just far away for them. Which means that they don't choose Jesus again, but rather return to him, whom they find never abandon them. Many Christians do come to faith as adults. They have the experience of not believing and then of believing. They might even have an experience of the moment when Jesus became plausible, real, made sense, alive. But these Christians also have the ups and downs of sin and doubt too, that can plague believers at any time. And so they are taught that it is God who has rescued them, and they look to Jesus or to their baptism to find an anchor or security for their faith so that it doesn't blow away in a storm. These Christians are taught that before faith in Jesus, they were spiritually dead, but through Christ's death and resurrection, and being linked to Jesus' death and resurrection in baptism, they now have a new life, a relationship with Jesus based on words, which they in turn trust. And this is all God's gift. So people will hear many times, I think, Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive, together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So Christians realize deep down that they are saved, that they believe and trust Jesus, because God has given them the gift of faith, because God has taken their spiritually dead selves and given them life in Jesus. No matter their experience of no faith to faith, or whether they've always known about Jesus, they understand that this is the Holy Spirit's work, grace from God, a gift from God. Why are they saved? Because God has given them life in Christ. Now, can you see a problem emerging? If believers have faith because God has given faith to them, then logic tells us that unbelievers are those people to whom God hasn't given faith. Simple. If this is true, then the answer to the question, why me and not my neighbor, would be, because God has chosen you and not your neighbor at this time. And the logic continues that if people are lost for eternity, damned, in hell, then God never chose them. So this question, why me and not my neighbor, can quickly take us into problems and errors and answers that fly in the face of the Bible. If we say that people don't believe because they choose not to, they reject, they decide against the evidence and messages and testimonies presented about Jesus, we can't say the opposite, that people do believe because of their own choosing. For faith fundamentally is a gift and the working of the Holy Spirit. Once you have faith, once you're in this relationship with Jesus, yes, of course you make choices about your discipleship, but not about your salvation. If we say that people don't believe because God chooses not to save them, he sits up in heaven going, "I'll have her in my kingdom, but not him," sort of thing, then that is logical, but again, not biblical. For God's salvation has always been for all people. Think of the promise first given to Abraham that through Abraham's descendant all the world will be blessed. Or hear Paul writing to the young pastor Timothy, some guidance and advice in the section about praying for all people, especially for those in authority, so Christians can lead peaceful and quiet lives in society, which is what God wants to happen. And Paul says clearly of God, 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth is that Jesus is our mediator who ransomed himself for all people. God doesn't pick and choose people for salvation. He wants everyone to be with him and has made it possible for that to happen. That it doesn't happen is the mystery of sin and the rebelliousness of human beings. If people are lost for eternity, it remains their fault. If people are saved for eternity, it is by God's grace. He gets the credit and praise. I know that this isn't logical, but it is biblical, for those two messages are consistently found throughout the Bible. It also means, and again this is found throughout the Bible, that those who do believe shouldn't become complacent and in effect push away or reject the gift, the relationship God gives. And those who today don't believe might believe tomorrow, not through magic, but through the ways the Holy Spirit works, words and water in this case, drawing people to see Jesus as he is in the Bible, rather than a caricature or their own edited version of him, and that he is alive and can be trusted to follow. Of course, this involves believers being ready to speak when appropriate about Jesus, but always seeking to follow Jesus each day in repentance and joy. Why me and not my neighbor? Because the believer has received God's grace and the unbelieving neighbor has pushed it away. That's today. Who knows what will happen tomorrow? If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.